Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation comes this morning from St. Paul's epistle letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, which you heard read earlier. So what first comes into your mind when you hear the words, off with the old, on with the new? Maybe you think of that old tacky wallpaper in your dining room. You want to scrape it off and put on the new. Or perhaps you have old faded paint that looks kind of drab and dreary. Cover the old, put on the new. And what about that rusty old clunker of a car sitting out in your garage? Put away the old, get behind the wheel of the new. Of course, this is not at all what St. Paul is referring to in our epistle text this morning. New wallpaper and paint eventually is going to fade, become dreary and tacky. Any new car over time will eventually turn into another clunker. And these things are temporary, and they're accomplished by your own cooperation. However, in our text, St. Paul is putting off your old way of living and putting on the new self, which is Christ himself. It is what God in Christ has accomplished for you. The flesh is flesh and the spirit is spirit. You can cooperate over the things of the flesh, but not of the spirit. St. Paul urges you to put off the old self, which is corrupt through all of your deceitful desires. But how does this happen? These are things that are part of the Spirit. How can you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on this new self? Well, if you were a first grader downstairs down in Sunday school, you would probably say, Jesus. And you would be right. In his letter to the Ephesian Christians, St. Paul teaches us the rest of the story. Your old self is corrupt because of original sin. As a descendant of Adam, you are born into sin. St. Paul writes to the Romans saying, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. One trespass led to condemnation for all men. By one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. He's talking about you and me. You, me, all mankind, we're all sinners. And there's not a thing you can do about it. You can paint and paper over your drab walls. And with the right skills, you can refurbish that old clunker and make it look like a brand new car. But in God's eyes, all of your works, all of your deeds are nothing but filthy rags. Unlike buying a new car, you cannot pay off the debt of your transgression. And new paper and paint might cleanse dirty and dingy walls, but they can neither cover nor cleanse your own sin. You are in desperate need of a Savior. Christ Jesus is the only one ever born without sin. You and me, everyone else, we are condemned because of Adam's sin. Jesus is the only one who lived a holy and perfect life, keeping every jot and tittle of God's law and the prophets. And apart from Christ Jesus, you are dead in your trespasses and by nature an enemy of God. Sure, you could go out and get plastic surgery, a little Botox here and there, and make you look like a brand new person. You can learn new habits and do a better job of concealing your sin so that you don't look like an outward sinful person. But the old self cannot be changed. The old self cannot be reformed. It must be put off. It must be put to death and replaced by something new. A few weeks ago, as we began our walk through Paul's letter to the Ephesians Christians, He wrote in the first chapter that God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. God didn't choose you because of your good looks or your talents or any redeemable value within you. He chose you in Christ because of Jesus' perfect sacrificial life and death on your behalf. Then, in baptism, God stripped off your old self and drowned him in baptismal waters and united you to Christ's death and resurrection. At the font, Paul says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. It's where God, it's where God adopted you into his holy family in the Christian church, sealing you with the Holy Spirit, granting you gifts of forgiveness of sins, new life, and salvation. It was there that you were born again, like Jesus talked to Nicodemus, born from above, born of the water and Spirit. Just as Paul writes to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, which you are because of baptism, you are in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You don't need that old self any longer because you are a new creation in Christ. Last week, we heard at the beginning of chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul urged us, all who are in Christ, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Yes, the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel. He has called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus. And because you have been called and are a new creation in Christ, Paul urges you to walk in a manner appropriate to your calling as a redeemed child of God. Paul continues with the same admonition in our text this morning, saying, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. These are not the Gentiles who had come to faith and been united into the one flock. These Gentiles of whom Paul refers to were pagans. And when the Bible speaks of a way of walking, it's not only referring to a person's outward actions and deeds, but it's also referring to the entire life of faith, confession, and obedience to God's word. So Paul is putting a warning out there for all of you who are in Christ, warning you not to fall back into your old sinful ways, which could lead you away from faith in Christ. It's that conflict we talk about being sinner and saint at the same time. In Romans chapter 7, St. Paul deals with this quandary. He says, I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. You are in Christ. That's the new self. Your new self in Christ, renewed by the Holy Spirit. You love God. You want to keep his commandments, keep his good and holy law. You want to do good. You want to live a righteous and holy life, but that old self, even though he was drowned in baptismal waters, is hanging around, lurking in the shadows, trying to corrupt you and deceive. The old self wants you to give in to those temptations of desires of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. And the danger is, when you go playing around up on top at the edge of the slippery slope of sin, you know not when you're going to stumble, and slide down the slope. If you don't put on the new self and cling to Christ Jesus and all his promises, well, you won't be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Jesus has already defeated sin, death, and the devil. Cling to Christ so you can defeat the schemes of the devil. Otherwise, you risk becoming callous toward God, alienating yourself from God, and losing the Holy Spirit. Earlier this week, someone asked me about what God thinks of Christians who, to use Paul's word in our text, Christians who have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. There's a lot that can be put into that little short phrase there, so pick a sin and fill in the blank. Gluttony, greed, abortion, anger, idolatry, lust, adultery, same-sex sin, all these different things that the world celebrates, the sinful things that the world demands that you also celebrate, every sort of impurity, unrighteousness, and dishonorable passion. So what does God think of Christians who do these things? Well, what does St. Paul say in our text? That is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. There is nowhere in Holy Scripture that God or one of the apostle writers suggests that a person who is in Christ has license to live any way they wish according to the flesh. To live as if you are not baptized and to chase after the desires of the flesh, denying God in word and deed, is an insult to the Holy Spirit. As Paul says in our text, you grieve the Holy Spirit. The Lutheran reformers say that when you grieve the Holy Spirit, you lose the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on to say that the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these things are opposed to one another to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you cannot pay off the debt of your transgression, but Jesus already has in his sacrificial death on the cross. You cannot hide and cleanse yourself from your own sin, but in baptism, Christ clothed you with his robe of righteousness that covers all of your sins. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. And in our text, Paul urges you to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. But this isn't something that you and I can do by our own reason or strength or devices. But in baptism, it was given you. You were crucified with Christ, and it is no longer you who live, but it is Christ who lives in you. And this life you now live, you live in the flesh by faith in God, the one who loved you and gave himself for you on Calvary's cross. So when you awake in the morning, heed Luther's words. Wake in the morning and make the sign of the Holy Cross. In contrition and repentance, drown that old Adam, that old self, in baptismal waters. Die with all sins and evil desires so that your new self may emerge and rise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Now, when you slip up and don't do the good that you want to do, repent, flee from your sin, and believe in the gospel. Remember that Christ died for you. He bled for you. He forgives you of your sin. And trust in God's word that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So put off the old self and put on the new, walking in a manner appropriate of your calling as a redeemed child of God. All those who are in Christ are called to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Although this is not something you do to earn salvation, it is a gift that has been won for you on the cross. No, you don't earn salvation, Paul told us earlier in his letter, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, but it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Forgiving your neighbor in word and deed is all part of being in Christ. Putting off the old self and putting on the new, created in Christ. He has created all good works for you in advance for you to walk in them. And you love others because God in Christ first loved you. Sure, the old self is still going to be hanging around, trying to pull you down and shove you down the slippery slope. But you are baptized and been given new life in Christ and have been given a new and holy life to live. Not in order that you may attain eternal life, but because in Christ, you have already been given eternal life. And on the last day, you will spend eternity with him in his kingdom forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.